Good evening, everyone. Making sure that the live stream's working all fine. It should be okay on my end. It's showing up that it's working, but we will see in a moment. Good to be with you all. As you know, I wasn't here last week. I've been traveling a little bit. I got the pleasure of attending the Gold Bullion Australia Booterham office opening, which was fantastic last week. That was in Queensland. And of course, as most of you would know by now, I was also in Canberra this week, where Tucker Carlson graced us with his presence and a very, very impactful speech about Australia, about the Australian media. He absolutely handed the Aussie mainstream media's butts to them on a silver platter, absolutely wiped the floor with them. And so we'll go through some of that footage tonight. I'd like to actually offer some of my analysis. We have the amazing historic news of the release of Julian Assange. We'll talk about that plea deal and the precedent that's been set. And I also want to cover a little bit about some new revelations about land grabs happening in Australia, something that Senator Rennick brought our attention to as well, who I also got the pleasure of finally meeting in person last week. He was also at the Gold Bullion Australia Group opening in Booterham. So that was wonderful to see him. All these beautiful people that I've known over the internet for so long, and getting to meet them in real life was really a treat. I really want to start with what happened with Tucker Carlson this week in Canberra. Most of you have seen a lot of the footage that's come out of that. I offered my initial report about it, which is that truly for me, it was obviously first and foremost an honor to meet him. It was brief, but from what I could tell and his interactions with others, he's a very genuine man, cares about everything that people have to say, really, and very hard to stop him engaging in conversation with everyone because he just genuinely cares about people. That was my impression of him. And of course, we had a good laugh. He told me that how much he loves Alex Jones. And so it was great. But the biggest delight of the event in Canberra was truly watching him hand the Australian media's butts to them. It was wonderful. Now, I'm just having a look. It looks like on my end that the live stream has frozen. Let me know if there are any issues. I'm just going to refresh my page and see if that makes a difference. Okay, it seems like it's working now. It was just my internet. So I really want to go through step by step some of what Tucker, the exchanges between Tucker and the media. As I said, most of you have seen that footage already, but I want to offer my commentary and insight as someone who was sitting right there watching this go down, watching these honestly lunatic ideas of the mainstream media and, quite frankly, slimy, disgusting tactics by people who really, in my opinion, seem to not be interested in covering the truth, but rather entrapping people so that they align with the government. And as I said in my post about some of what Tucker inspired in me, or at least some of what really stuck out to me, was that, you know, one of the biggest points was about how the media actually exists to challenge power on behalf of the people who are not in power. That is the job of the media. In fact, it's, you know, probably, especially in the times that we're living in, the sole job of the media. And of course, this is why there is so much contempt for the mainstream media in Australia and in every single country, really. They have just become mouthpieces of a government, of a regime. And in fact, I want to talk about the Australian Associated Press in more detail in the times to come, because these are people that have, you know, slandered me, grossly misrepresented my character, defamed me on multiple occasions, claiming that I'm a prominent misinformation spreader. That is a wildly false label that they have labeled against me. I asked them to retract that in their last article, and they refused. So that's on record, just so that they know, in my little folder that I'm building on them. But you know, it's really astounding. The reason why I'm most outraged about the Australian Associated Press is that they are largely responsible for a lot of the false information flags that go on my Instagram account, and I'm sure many Australians. that actually end up in us being shadow banned. Now, of course, they would deny that, and Instagram denies that shadow banning exists. Hoping that it's better now. I do apologize, guys, for the connection issues. I've just rebooted my software. It's showing that it's full steam ahead now. Connection seems to be good. Let me know in the comments how it's going. Someone's saying just rewind and watch it delayed. Well, if it's all fixed now, which it appears to be on my end, we should be able to keep going. Let me know in the comments. Otherwise, I will end the stream. It seems to be okay now. Yep, seems better. Some people saying seems better, much better. Okay. How far back do I have to go? Do I need to go back all the way to the start, guys? Let me know in the comments. If that's what I need to do, I'm happy to do it. Seems to be better. So far, so good. All right, wonderful. Someone's saying our internet is so sucking. Yeah, well, considering how much we pay for internet in Australia, you go to Europe, you can't believe the amount of money that we pay in Australia for really, really poor connections. So someone's saying go back to the first 2 minutes. All right, let me try and recall what I was saying in those first 2 minutes. Basically, I started by saying that we're going to discuss what happened with Tucker in Canberra. I mentioned that I went to Bootirim, the Gold Bullion Australia opening in Bootirim, which was lovely. I finally got to meet Senator Gerard Rennick in person. I haven't gotten to meet him in person after all this time interviewing him, you know, communicating with him about important information, behind the scenes and things like that. I've never actually gotten to speak with him in person. So it was lovely to see and meet him there. And of course, I went to Canberra this week and got to meet Tucker Carlson briefly, but I got to see him in real time and got to see him interacting with others as well. And he really struck me as a very genuine person. In fact, it's quite difficult to get him to stop engaging in conversation so he can get back to the podium or whatever, because he just genuinely cares about people. And I think that really shows in his interactions. He just wants to converse with everybody. And I think that that's the true mark of someone who wants to learn, who doesn't believe that they know everything, who doesn't see themselves as above others, which is more than I can say for the mainstream media that was in attendance. We had the Sydney Morning Herald there, Paul Sacker from the Sydney Morning Herald, the gentleman from the ABC, if I can call him a gentleman, although I'll be honest, his questioning tactics weren't as disgusting as the other two. And then we had a member of the Australian Associated Press, who, in my opinion, are one of the worst of the bunch. They are often the ones that are responsible for a large amount of the fact checker marks that go on Instagram posts and Meta posts. In fact, they were caught out once blocking my post as a media outlet, claiming that it was misinformation or false information or whatever the flag was, when I was asking what's going on here during a Victorian election. I wanted to know. It looked like there was a man altering a ballot paper. It turned out that reportedly that's not what he was doing. But as a media organization, I was asking the question and reaching out and saying, if anyone has any further information, please contact me. That's what media does. They often do that. Anyone with further information is encouraged to contact here. And so I wrote to them and I said, excuse me, this is a regular media practice. How dare you put a false flag information on my account? Please immediately remove this. And they said, oh, sorry, this must have been an automated thing from our fact checker. Why do you even have the power to automate that people's posts get taken down when they are legitimately concerned about election integrity? This is a democratic society, is it not? And of course, after they put that false flag, false information flag on my account, I was severely shadow banned after that, even though it was a fake, an incorrect false information flag. And this is a regular thing that happens. I was saying as well, I have 114,000 people following my account on Instagram. My stories are lucky to get 2,000 views. I used to get 28,000 views with about 40,000 followers. It's absolutely infuriating because we are here trying to get information out to people so that they can make up their own minds rather than being told what to think like the MSM does. And we can't do it. And then we have organizations like AAP, who I will show you the clip. They utterly embarrassed and brought shame to their organization through this representative that they sent. But it is a representative of the AAP. This is how they are, at least in my experience, reading their articles. It's all very much pro-government. And one of the biggest points that Tucker Carlson made is that the media exists to challenge authority, not to side with it. It's there to challenge those in power and be a voice and on behalf of those who are not in power. And that is why they are so despised. And it was so evident in that room how despised they were. In fact, you can't actually hear through the footage that I'm about to play you. You can't actually hear the amount of screaming at these people that occurred in that room. I myself, when Paul from the Sydney Morning Herald made the false claim, that is misinformation in real time, that the COVID injections saved tens of millions of lives, probably, he said. There's no proof of that. In fact, it's quite the opposite. They didn't actually save any lives. That was all based on modeling, of course, crafted by those who seek to benefit from injecting the population. And so when he made that claim, I myself screamed, you know, liar! Like I could not contain my outrage at this disgusting display of anti-human behavior that I have seen in my life. Meanwhile, I'm sitting next to a wonderful woman. And I won't name her in case she doesn't want me to name her. I haven't asked her permission to cover her story in this broadcast, although I will do. 23-year-old daughter murdered by the injections. And her Medicare records were deleted by someone in Medicare so as to hide the evidence that she'd had the injections. And then the coroner said that she died of thunderstorm asthma with no evidence of asthma in her body. You would think that the Sydney Morning Herald or the Australian Associated Press or the ABC would be interested in these outlets, but no, they want to ask Tucker about Putin. And he made some fantastic, fantastic points back to the media, which I will play tonight. I'm not going to play all of it, but I do want to give my analysis as someone who was there. So I'm going to replay that video that I played when I was having connection issues from Paul at the Sydney Morning Herald and Tucker Carlson. Take a look at this.
Paul Sakal from the Sydney Morning Herald to ask a question.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for your speech.
Of course.
Mr. Carlson. It's the media can be extremely negative, so it's nice to hear uplifting comments about our country.
It's an amazing country.
It is, and I think we forget that in Australia oftentimes, so I appreciate that. You've preempted my question on Putin.
Putin! Putin!
I think you did strategically because you knew it's what we'd ask.
Putin! He's so bad!
And I also appreciate that...
Did he make you take the COVID shot?
Take the what?
The COVID shot? No, he didn't. Sorry.
The COVID shot saved probably tens of millions
of lives. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Probably safe and effective. This is why everyone loves the media.
Probably 100 times more lives than Putin has killed in Ukraine.
It's like a time capsule. It's like you're like the last Japanese soldier on Okinawa. You think the war's still going. No, it didn't save millions of lives.
So this man steps into a room full of people seeking the truth and says that the COVID injections probably saved tens of millions of lives. On what basis? We don't really know. But the point is, you know, and again, Tucker made this later on, which I will play, that the media is not challenging that or interested at all in all the COVID injection injuries. He says, oh, the media can often be negative. And he said Tucker made some positive statements about our country, and he did. He said it's a beautiful country full of natural resources. And of course, countries like China seek to benefit from those natural resources. And I remember during the bushfires, I can't remember exactly which lake it was, but when we were having those very mysterious bushfires a few years ago, right before COVID, if you all remember, along the East Coast, there was a huge, huge lake in Western Australia that, in a time where you would think that our country would need to preserve all of our natural assets, particularly water, an entire lake got sold to China. An entire lake. I wish I could remember the name of the lake right now. But this is a perfect point of you know, how I forgot my point, really, to be honest with you, where he said that the media can be negative sometimes. Well, of course the media can be negative. Of course the media is negative. You're always negative. You're negative. You make the country negative because you don't stand up for the people. And that is the point. We forget that in this country. Yes, we do forget that, because all we get is garbage headlines that beat the people down. The people have a question or two about the government. Oh, racists, homophobes, bigots, attack MP, whatever. Of course we feel negative, because we are constantly browbeaten by these bootlickers who, by the way, after they had their butts handed to them by Tucker Carlson, sat there with their heads to the ground as the entire room stared at them with disgust, which is what they deserve at bare minimum, sat there with their heads to their ground before they weaseled their way out, before anyone got the chance to actually speak with them. And that is the thing. You know, the reason it was satisfying is because finally someone was able to talk to the Australian media and represent what people actually think about them. And the whole room got to share their contempt with the media. Because you can't otherwise. All their comments are off. All their live streams on YouTube's comments are off. The only way that you get to interact with these arms of the government is by watching them and getting infuriated at your television, should you choose to watch it, which more and more people are not. And of course they would go after independent media. Because as I've often said, I could put, and I say this in jest, but I'm making the point again, I could put a video of myself scratching my nose on the internet and I would get more views than any one of these outlets, because nobody cares or trusts or watches them anymore. So then they questioned Tucker on the Ukraine situation, and I'll play you some of that clip.
First, I'm stuck on the idea that Boris Johnson is a right winger. Do you know Boris Johnson? I do. Boris Johnson is a criminal buffoon who, like so many who claim to love Ukraine, is single-handedly responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian men in this war that Ukraine cannot win. And I would refer you to Wikipedia. How many more people does Russia have than Ukraine? Do you know? 100 million. 100 million. And in a land war, that's a relevant number. It is not possible for Ukraine to beat Russia. The best they can do is sue for peace. That's been known, including by Zelensky, who wanted that, since the early days of this conflict. And Boris Johnson, on orders from the Biden administration, shut down, and this is not a disputed fact, this is a fact admitted by everybody now, shut down the peace negotiations almost 2 years ago. And Ukraine has been completely destroyed. And now Zelensky has passed a law allowing foreign corporations to own land there. So you tell me what Ukraine is going to look like in 30 years when all of it is owned by BlackRock and multinational corporations and its population is not Ukrainian. Okay, so the tragedy of what's happened in Ukraine, orchestrated by the Western powers, including your government, and I hope you do, and driven by my government, I feel shame about it, I hope you do too, is really one of the great crimes of my lifetime. So the idea that somehow if you're against that, you're for Putin, well, of course, that's absurd.
So he makes some very important points there. Number one, all we've seen from the Australian and Western media at large is Russia bad and we must support democracy in Ukraine. This is to save democracy. Poor Zelensky, he only has one T-shirt. We have to keep donating. Meanwhile, he's got million-dollar mansions all over the world. And he just keeps getting richer. No one really knows how. But hey, let's send more tax dollars to Ukraine. But the greatest crime, and we all focus on that, but the greatest crime really is the lives of Ukrainians lost in this war that cannot be won. It cannot be won. Ukraine is never going to defeat Russia, regardless of what you think of Putin, regardless of whether you like Russia or not, regardless of whether you like Putin or not. And he tried to pose the question that majority of people in this room despise Putin. It wasn't the case. And he tried to browbeat about Putin being, you know, some radical dictator. And Tucker made a very good point, which is look at your own government when it comes to Assange. Take a listen to this.
And by the way, it's perfectly fine if people love Putin. Well, I don't understand what that has to do with anything. We are citizens of different countries. We should judge first and foremost our own leaders. How's our country doing? How are my children doing? What's their future look like? None of that has anything to do with Putin, except to the extent that you all in this country sit back, your government allows the Biden administration to push us into nuclear war, which is where we are right now, right on the cusp of it. And somehow that's not a story. That is that Putin doesn't respect human rights or the rule of law. Okay. Well, just today, Julian Assange was released after 12 years in custody, and your government did nothing. The UK made it possible, and the United States demanded it. You tell me how that's consistent with the rule of law or democracy. It's not. It's rule by the intel agencies. It's lawlessness, and it's a crime.
Ruled by the intel agencies, it's lawlessness and it's a crime. And so you want to come there and question someone who you don't agree with because they sat down with President Putin, which, by the way, Tucker wasn't fawning over Putin when he interviewed him. You know, he even came out of that interview criticizing a few of the points. I mean, this isn't about a defense for Tucker. This is about showing how pathetic the mainstream media is. So it's not a story that hundreds of thousands of men have been murdered in Ukraine by Western dollars. It's not a story that there will be no Ukraine at the end of this. It's not a story that we're heading into nuclear war. It's a story that apparently a few people are Putin sympathizers just because they don't hate him like the headlines tell them they have to. And like Penny Wong says, we have to. It's pathetic. And I recall a recent statement from Tucker about who are these people to tell me who I have to hate? Why do I have to hate this particular world leader just because you told me I have to? Maybe what we're being told about the foreign relations across nations isn't exactly what it is. Maybe we don't trust our government. But these people are so blind and pathetic that they can't even see the real issues at hand. Tomorrow they could be nuked as a result of their pathetic reporting efforts. But they're more interested in what? Getting a pat on the back from the government-sided media bosses? And Tucker makes a very, very good point here. Take a listen to this.
So I'm not saying that we're morally equivalent to Putin. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is our concern should be first and foremost, how are our countries run? And we give our own leaders a pass time and time again because they point to some other creep on the world stage and say, he's bad. Kim Jong-un is bad. Well, yeah, of course he's bad. That's why I don't live in North Korea. That's why I don't live in Russia. I have no interest in living in Russia. But the point is, you're bad too. And the fact that he's bad does not allow you to continue being bad. What? And the last thing I will say that I really feel deeply and I really resent on an emotional level, and you'll pardon my passion, I don't know you, I'm sure we'd be very close friends if we did know each other, but I really resent what I have seen across the West in the past 15 years, and it's a sea change from my youth when my father was a reporter, this alignment between media organizations and the government. I find disgusting, actually. I think it's a perfect... It's a perfect inversion of what you're supposed to do. If you're a journalist, your job is to challenge power on behalf of the powerless. It is not to align with the powerful against the powerless. And that is precisely what you have done.
That is exactly the point that I made before. And isn't that just what we wish the media would leave their comments open for us to be able to say to them? Or that they would pay attention to what the people actually want rather than what BlackRock wants them to publish. Or Murdoch, or whoever it may be. And, you know, they think when they publish articles about Tucker in particular, they say, oh, fired journalist. Yeah, he was fired for telling the truth. Does that not make you concerned that you're still employed? If you are still employed as a journalist and pat on the back by your bosses at these points by any one of these big outlets, you're not a journalist, you're a mouthpiece of the government. And that is so pathetic. And as he said, disgusting. And I had to laugh at that comment. I'm sure we'd be very good friends if we knew each other. I don't think so. Then he goes on to talk about the ABC, which, as you all know, is something I'm furious about. I think that the fact that our tax dollars, if you've ever sat and watched the ABC, I do on occasion just to see what sort of nonsense they're spewing. And like Tucker said, I often feel very, very sick from it as well, because I just cannot believe how this does not represent our nation whatsoever, but absolutely is representative of the lunatics running our nation. And so here are his comments on the ABC.
I watched your ABC this morning in my hotel room for about 20 minutes until I looked around for a vomit bag. And I watched, it was one of the most gross, I couldn't even believe it was real.
It was one of the most grotesque things ever. And that's absolutely how I feel as well about them. And I am just infuriated that my tax dollars fund this. Why do our tax dollars in this country go towards funding something that is essentially just a mouthpiece of the government? It's reprehensible. And I want Australians to feel angry about this, not just my viewers. I think, you know, everywhere Australians should be furious about this. Why are we giving our taxpayer dollars for a propaganda outfit? Why do we do that? And that's my opinion. That's what I see it as. I don't see it as non-biased in the slightest. Every single minute you're being browbeaten into being told you're a racist for not liking The Voice by every media outlet. And Tucker made this very, very important point, which is while he was watching the ABC, there was a segment at the beginning about a family that had just been killed, a family of four, if I'm not mistaken, that had just been killed in a house in Australia by someone who was taking some new synthetic drug. And he said it was a very short segment. And then the ABC went on to lecture Australians about nicotine use in the next segment. Take a listen.
And we were treated to a 15-minute lecture on ABC, whatever the hell that is, about how nicotine is dangerous and we need to keep it out of the hands of Australians. And I'm like, wait a second. Nicotine, first of all, is not dangerous. That's not true. It's factually incorrect. You know nothing about the science, A. B, compared to what? Compared to what? Oh, we have this new synthetic opioid that's killing people. The government, not too concerned. What they're really concerned about is that people might be using nicotine, which, by the way, has the byproduct of raising testosterone levels and making people a little harder to command. That's a massive threat! So this is the point where the media gets involved and says, wait a second, let's chart the death toll from vaping versus fentanyl. Maybe one's a little worse than the other. And what exactly are you doing about it? Why don't you press your ministers and your prime minister? Like, what are you doing about it, about drug use? And the answer is nothing. Instead, they're hassling people, adults who want to use nicotine, which I would highly recommend to every person in this room as a life-enhancing, God-given chemical. That's just my view.
The point is really profound. A family of four has just been killed by a synthetic drug. But the ABC chooses a majority of their coverage to be about banning nicotine for adults. And what's more dangerous? Are we going to discuss banning the COVID injections that have caused our excess deaths to skyrocket to levels not seen since the last World War, or maybe even exceeding it? Are we going to talk about that? Are we going to ban those? No, we're going to ban nicotine products. And as Tucker rightly said, nicotine that's been shown to increase testosterone levels. I mean, regardless of where you stand on it, you see the point. You see the point of how pathetic this media in this country is. And we are missing more robust independent media in Australia. I mean, independent media that really goes for the jugular of our media. We need more of that. We need more guts, more strength in independent media. There are some great people doing some great work. I'm not saying that there's no one doing good work. I'm just saying we need more of it. We need to dominate this space. Someone in the comments said, you need to stop calling the mainstream their legacy. I agree with you. I use the two interchangeably. Just today, someone said to me, you need to stop calling them legacy. They're mainstream. Can't please everyone. You know what I mean when I say that, but I get your point. Because nothing that they talk about is actually mainstream. I mean, the majority of people despise them. The majority of people despise them. Even if they're not fully awake, they despise the media. And this is why they are in Senate hearings right now trying to put more controls on social media, because they say they're the trusted sources. Well, it's because no one is watching them. We are their competition. Of course they want to silence us when no one's watching. Pathetic. Pathetic. And here's where he calls out the vax injuries. Very satisfying. Take a look.
But I'm like, a media should be like holding these people to the fire on that. Or the vax injuries and deaths, which are manifold. They're everywhere. Are you joking? And in like countries that actually believe in science, and there are a few in Europe, they're looking at the... I mean, every vaccine causes injuries, every single one. One of my children was injured by a flu vaccine. This is known. In the United States, we're not allowed to sue. We can sue makers of playground equipment, totally fine. We can sue anybody for anything. Gun manufacturers, you cannot sue vaccine manufacturers. And every vaccine causes injuries, every single one. And there's a database publicly available in the United States that shows you how many. And the COVID vax, the mRNA vax from Pfizer, has caused more injuries than all, self-reported injuries, than all the previous vaccination campaigns for the last 50 years combined. And no one in the media has written a story about it.
Exactly the point that we've been making for 3-4 years. But to hear someone who's respected on the world stage interviewed more people than anyone at the ABC or the AAP could ever dream of interviewing. I mean, these people couldn't hold a candle to Tucker. Whatever you think about him, whether you love him, hate him, are indifferent, it doesn't matter. He's fantastic at his job. To see them being schooled like this was incredibly, incredibly satisfying. Incredibly satisfying. He talks about the contempt for the mainstream media. And like I said earlier, if you were in that room, and I have to actually give a quick shout out to Alan Hashem, because he gifted me with those tickets to attend. And so I'm very, very grateful. Some of you may know Our Voices Matter. Alan Hashem and I worked on a vaccine injury documentary. In fact, the first one in the world at the scale that we did on the COVID injections. And Rita Risk was a former Channel 7 journalist who actually left the industry because she could not stand the inability to tell the truth in the industry. And she was actually the journalist interviewing either the victims of the injuries or those whose loved ones were killed by the injections. And so I was involved in that documentary series. It went viral. It went, I mean, we had over 2 million views on the first episode, you know, garnered tens of thousands of followers all over the world before, as confirmed by the Australian Twitter files, the government targeted Our Voices Matter for destruction. And that is in black and white in email exchanges. So a huge thank you to Alan for gifting me with these tickets and gifting me with the opportunity to see the mainstream media destroyed like they were. Take a listen to this.
And so I sympathize with you guys who work for these companies that are like truly corrupt, and you sort of know that, but you don't want to deal with it because you've got kids and a mortgage. I get it. I've been there. But let's just be honest. Everybody else knows what it is. Everyone else knows how corrupt you are. And so there's a reason they have contempt for you. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, like I said earlier, the majority of the rest of their time, you know, they went over back to their table where their colleagues were or their competitors or whatever, and, you know, gave themselves a little pat on the back, and the rest of the room was just glaring at them with utter contempt and hatred in their eyes, so much so that they spent the rest of the time staring at the floor or at their phones before they squeeze their way out before the end of the event. Now, here's Tucker criticising our taxpayer-funded ABC. Take a listen.
On that note, I might pass you over to Andrew Green from the ABC.
Oh, I love it! You're going to take my nicotine? It's dangerous.
Good afternoon, Tucker.
A prescription for nicotine. Okay.
I missed that segment this morning.
It's so shocking. You should watch it. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen on television.
The laugh. Just imagine being from the ABC, being subjected to that as he pops nicotine into his mouth. It really was a glorious moment. And the last three clips I have for you on this are slightly longer. They're about 2 minutes each. And this is from the exchange with the Australian Associated Press, which I'm going to play in full, but I'm going to do it in segments. This is so important, again, because the AAP are responsible for many, many fact checks that actually silence independent media, regular people trying to get the truth out and get their voices heard. They are responsible for issuing these fact checks, many of them, that lead to those people being censored, shadow banned, whether directly or indirectly as a result of that fact check. And I know from the times that they've issued me with a fact check on social media that all of a sudden I start losing followers immediately after. Instagram starts unfollowing, my story gets much less views. And so it's very, very important to understand the attitude of the people that are working at this organization. It's quite frankly, in my opinion, really dangerous, terrifying, because this liberal woman with absolutely bizarre and insane views, legitimately insane views, in my opinion, seemed to really believe what she was saying. And these are people that are, per their own website, feeding news to the government, feeding news to other media outlets. They were about to become obsolete before they were bought out and reinstated in their mission to bring the truth. And all they do, really, from what I can see, is cause chaos. And that's evident in this discussion. Take a look.
Thanks, Tucker. One final question from the press gallery. Kat Wong from AAP.
Hi, Tucker. Thank you so much for your address today. So you talked a little bit about immigration, and in the past you've talked about how white Australians, Americans, Europeans are being replaced by non-white immigrants in what is often referred to as the Great Replacement Theory. This is the same...
Have I said that whites are being replaced?
Well...
I don't think I said that.
Well, it's been mentioned on your show 4,000 times. And
really? When did I say that?
On your show...
I said whites are being replaced?
You have said that before.
Really?
Yeah,
I would challenge you to cite that because I'm pretty sure I haven't said that. I said native-born Americans are being replaced, including blacks.
Native-born Americans.
Native-born Americans. And Americans who, like black Americans, have been African Americans, have been in the United States for, in many cases, their families over 400 years. And their concerns are every bit as real and valid and alive to me as the concerns of white people whose families have been there 400 years. So I've never said that whites are being replaced. Not one time. And
I
you can't cite
that's
it.
Untrue.
We just met, but when our relationship starts with a lie, it makes it tough to be friends. So
well,
let's,
I mean, you've been
let's pull that back. I'm happy to explain what I do
well,
think.
So,
well, you actually can't cite it because I didn't say it, and I don't believe it. And I'm telling you that to your face, so why don't you just accept me at face value? My concern is that the people who are born in the country are the main responsibility of its leaders. And as noted earlier, when those leaders shift their concern from the people whose responsibility it is to take care of to people around the world, to put their priorities above that of their own citizens, that's immoral. And they are being replaced in my country, people who are born in the United States. And the birth rate tells the whole story. They are not at replacement rate. And so the U.S. population is growing because we're importing people from other countries. And my view is that happy people have children, and a functioning economy allows them to do that. And we don't have that. And so you need to fix the economy and fix the culture and make it so that people who want to have kids can. You don't just go for the quick sugar fix of importing new people. Like, that's my position. And if you think that's racist, that's your problem.
Again, a few very, very important points there. This is, again, let me remind you, an organization tasked in Australia with fact-checking. In fact, they're part of a global network of fact-checkers that are trusted with fact-checking. And she cannot even cite one instance where Tucker has said the words that she has claiming he's said 4,000 times. I am an avid viewer of Tucker. I admire his interview style. I think he's incredible at his job. And I like the people that he interviews. I like hearing their perspective in the things that they say. And I think we all have a lot to learn from both him and the people that he talks to. But I'm telling you now, I've never once heard him say whites are being replaced, even though I think it's true. I've actually never heard him say those words. But even if he did, if she's saying over 4,000 times and she can't cite even once, these are the people that are fact-checking Australians, destroying Australian social media accounts, running their names through the mud on their website because she said so? She said because it's not true. Based on what? What evidence do you have? She brought no evidence to the table, and these people are the trusted fact-checkers in Australia? That is despicable. That is dangerous. And that is a danger to our country, a danger to democracy, in fact, as they keep telling us there's all these dangers to democracy. The danger to democracy is putting the role of fact-checking in the hands of someone who cannot even cite one source for her claims. My God, what a disgrace, an embarrassment. It's beyond words for me. And of course, I'm especially outraged because of the number of very, very pathetic hit pieces these people have written about me. You would all know that it was actually Antonio Guterres's own secretary that responded to the Australian Associated Press in a hit piece about me. So they have extreme pull in this country to reach people like Antonio Guterres, who saw me as a worthy target, apparently, because I exposed that the United Nations was pushing to legalize pedophilia, which they are. You can find it in the 8 March Principles report. The international, the ICJ, backed by, not the ICJ, the International Jurists Association. I can't remember the full name right now. Let me check it because I want to be absolutely accurate. 8 March Principles. 8 March Principles. Unlike the AAP, I like to cite my sources. It's endorsed by the lawyers around the world. The ICJ, yes, the International Commission of Jurists, published on the 8th of March, 2023. And their principles are set out in that set of legal principles where it clearly says that they want to legalize sex with minors or decriminalize sex with minors. And just because people who tell the truth do better than the Australian Associated Press, I'm going to bring it up for everyone because, unlike them, I know how to cite sources. Here it is, the 8 March Principles, a human rights-based approach to criminal law prescribing conduct associated with sex, reproduction, drug use, HIV, homelessness, and poverty. The ICJ is, of course, endorsed by the United Nations, and I will scroll down to the principle in question, which is... One moment. Consensual sexual conduct, principle 16, where they say, with respect to the enforcement of criminal law, any prescribed minimum age of consent to sex must be applied in a non-discriminatory manner. And they go on to say that Moreover, the sexual conduct involving persons below the domestically prescribed minimum age of consent to sex may be consensual, in fact, if not in law. In this context, this enforcement of criminal law should reflect the rights and capacity of persons under 18 years of age to make decisions about engaging in consensual sexual conduct. So I think it's pretty clear that that is calling for the decriminalisation of sex with minors. But the AAP got Antonio Guterres involved in the hit piece that they wrote about me for exposing that the United Nations is endorsing sex with minors. So, yes, I am particularly furious about this quite frankly dangerous personality of people that work here. Here's another video.
I never called you a racist.
But of course you are suggesting. And I must say, one of the reasons people don't like people like you in the media is that you never say exactly what you mean. Your slurs are all by implication. And you're about to tell me the great replacement theory is racist or anti-Semitic, whatever. I've said what I've said to you right now like 100 times in public. I hope to, if I live long enough, say it 100 more times. I think it's completely honest and real, not racist or scary. It's factually true. It's not a theory. It's a fact. And the whole point of your question was to be like, you're a scary racist.
Well, I haven't.
And my response is, no, I'm not. Okay, well, how about no more lying in your questions, and then I'll answer it.
Okay, well, this is the same theory, or as you say, idea, that has inspired the New York Buffalo shooting, where 11
God,
Americans were killed.
Come on, you know what I mean?
Americans were killed. Like, and it's also
okay,
inspired. It's inspired one of the worst Australian guys of all time.
How do they get people this stupid in the media? I guess it doesn't pay well. Look, I'm sorry. I've lived among people like you for too long, and I don't mean to call you stupid. Maybe you're just pretending to be, but I've never. I'm totally against violence. I'm totally against the war in Ukraine, for example, which doubtless you support. And like all dutiful liberals support more carnage. I don't. I hate mass shootings, actually. Nothing I said, what does it mean to inspire something? My views are not bigoted against any group. They're honest. They're factual. That's not hate. That's reality. And my views derive from my deep concern for Americans, actually. Americans aren't having kids because they can't afford to. And nobody in charge cares. And so that's my position. That doesn't inspire mass shootings. How dare you try to tie me to some lunatic who murdered people? How dare you, actually? And in fact, I mean, do you know what I mean? I'd be like, you know, Hitler wore those shoes. A lot of people are saying that you're like Hitler. Can you explain those shoes? Hitler wore exactly the same shoes. And you're like, I've got nothing to do with Hitler. Well, that's how I feel about your absurd, disingenuous question.
Trying to tie in. First of all, let me just say, these absolute conspiracy theorists calling the Great Replacement a theory, it is actually a published document from the United Nations Population Division called Replacement Migration. It's a document that literally says they want to replace populations. That's what replacement migration is. So claiming that the Great Replacement is a theory is actually a conspiracy theory. You are the conspiracy theorist because you are denying a publication of the United Nations. They've put it out there. Why do you deny it, you conspiracy theorist? But he makes an incredible point there where he says, some people are saying the shoes that you wear are just like the shoes Hitler wore. How do you like it when I say that? That's how I feel about your absurd line of questioning. Trying to tie the Great Replacement theory, which is a published UN document called Replacement Migration, saying that speaking about it inspires mass shootings. Well, why don't you, AAP, go... What's her name? Her name, Simon Atiba posted her name. Kat Wong. Why don't you, Kat Wong? Simon Atiba posted it and said, here is Kat Wong, the liberal journalist from the Australian Associated Press, who was demolished by Tucker Carlson during an explosive exchange. Why don't you, Kat Wong, ask the United Nations why they're inspiring shootings by publishing a replacement migration, by publishing that they want to replace the world's populations with invaders and people that do not belong in their country and don't assimilate. Now, we can have the discussion, of course, about, you know, legal migration. Although I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about she's asking an American who currently has tens of thousands of illegal aliens pouring through their borders as we speak. And she's saying that speaking about that is inspiring mass shootings. Well, go after the UN then, Kat. Go after the UN and tell them that them publishing that they want to replace our population with migration is inspiring mass shootings. Come on, Kat. You've got ties to the UN. Go straight to the top and ask them why they're inspiring mass shootings with their publication of wanting to replace people. How pathetic. How pathetic. Oh my God, these people are lunatics. That think this way. But here's the final blow that Tucker delivered to the AAP. Take a look.
Right, so therefore you support gun control?
What? I thought it couldn't get dumber, but it did. No, I don't support disarming law-abiding people so they can't defend themselves. So the government has a monopoly on violence? I don't think so. First of all, in my country, that's illegal, as you know. But moreover, it should be illegal in every country. A sovereign person has the right to defend himself and his family, period. And that said, I'm totally opposed to harming anyone, anyone. Have you been calling, are you concerned about the war in Ukraine and the countless innocents being murdered there every single day? I doubt you are. Probably Putin bad.
I've had a few people saying that the stream was freezing again. I've tried to fix it. It looks like it's improved a little bit. Let me know in the comments. I'll play that video again, but just let me know in the comments if it's improved now, because what happened was my battery on my phone was low, so then the internet connection dropped down. I mean, this is Australia. We would suffer with, you know, 5G towers everywhere, yet we can't have a stable internet connection. My goodness. Someone saying, careful, Maria, Kat Wong looks Asian. They'll say you're a racist. I don't have a problem with Kat Wong being Asian whatsoever. I don't care what race she is. I have a problem with her line of questioning, accusing someone of inspiring mass shootings just because they talk about a published UN document. I mean, this is insanity. I don't care what race she is. Okay, so it's saying it's freezing a little. However, no loss at the moment. It's not bad. Okay. All right, let me play that last clip again because it's very, very powerful.
Right, so therefore you support gun control?
What? I thought it couldn't get dumber, but it did. No, I don't support disarming law-abiding people so they can't defend themselves. So the government has a monopoly on violence? I don't think so. First of all, in my country, that's illegal, as you know. But moreover, it should be illegal in every country. A sovereign person has the right to defend himself and his family, period. And that said, I'm totally opposed to harming anyone, anyone. Have you been calling, are you concerned about the war in Ukraine and the countless innocents being murdered there every single day? I doubt you are. Probably Putin bad. I am. I'm a Christian. I hate violence. I hate mass shootings. I have guns at home and often on my person when I'm in the United States, I'm proud to say. Because I want to defend myself and those I love against violence. That's the point. I'm not perpetrating crimes. I'm not shooting strangers. I'm defending what I love. And if you're against that, I guess I would ask why. Why would you be against that?
Well, so you don't think you harbor any kind of responsibility for these hate crimes?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be charitable. I'm trying to be charitable. I was like, maybe you're just pretending to be dumb. Now I don't think it's an act.
Tucker, thank you for taking those questions. I'm sure you enjoyed
Actually, I loved it. I just feel sorry. I mean, because I got here and the country's so unbelievably beautiful and the people are so cheerful and funny and cool and smart. I'm like, your media's got to be better than ours. It can't just be a bunch of castrated robots reading questions from the boss. And then it turns out it's exactly the same, maybe even a tiny bit dumber.
Castrated robots reading questions from their boss. I think the scarier part, as I said, is that these people seem to genuinely believe their position. I think that's even more terrifying than the fact that, you know, they could just be castrated robots. I'm sure there's plenty of them. But the people that were there genuinely seem to believe the things that their positions. And that is terrifying. It's terrifying that we have these people in society. It's terrifying that we have anyone in the world that thinks that way. I mean, these people that use these tactics, that try to pin and trap people that are genuinely just telling it as it is. I mean, the reason Tucker is, this is my assessment, he's able to so well articulate his points and his view of the world is because he's just telling the truth in terms of what he believes, what he's observed, what he's learnt, and what's really happening. And what's been actually published, by the way, not some made up citation. Replacement Migration is a published document. And so, you know, He's just speaking as truthfully as he possibly can, in my opinion. The way that these people come about it is they have to skew and invert absolutely everything to come at a truthful person who, if you just ask them, do you support this, that, or the other, or what are your thoughts on this, they would just tell you. And they would tell you openly, as he did. He said, whites and blacks in my country are being replaced. People that have been there for generations. I have no problem telling you that. And that is with the rest of us. You know, they frame us as anti-vaxxers and, you know, conspiracy theorists and misinformation spreaders and whatever other labels they want to put on us, which is, by the way, defamatory, highly, highly slanderous, and inaccurate, by the way. Inaccurate. How do you call someone, even if they occasionally get something wrong, okay? How do you call someone a misinformation spreader when the intention is to tell the truth, as opposed to these people who come with the intent to invert the truth? It's disgraceful. And I can't believe that we have real these people actually exist. But they are. You know, Mike Adams recently said, gosh, I want to bring up that tweet because it was so powerful. If I can find it now, because it was some time ago. Let me see if I can find it. Because I literally, my comment was, Mike Adams is right. These people will literally kill you for a roll of toilet paper. Here we go. He said, never forget, most of the people in society were instantly and gleefully transformed into COVID enforcers who demanded you wear a mask, take a jab, shut your business, lock your children in their rooms. Importantly, these people have not changed. They are still tyrants, just waiting for the next emergency to wield more power against you. And is that not what you see when you see these questioning tactics? And my comment to that was, Mike is right. These people will kill you over a roll of toilet paper. The most dangerous people in society aren't only tyrannical governments. It's those who obey them. It's those who obey them. And it's journalists, or those who consider themselves journalists, who do not challenge authority and power, but rather just go along with it. And wasn't that the case today when the ABC had their next major embarrassment when they tried to trap Marjorie Taylor Greene. This clip is about 3 minutes long. I've shared it in Telegram, but I really want to air it again because it is just another example of how pathetic these media outlets are. Take a look.
You've never accepted the results of the 2020 presidential election. Indeed, you've lionized people for the
Sarah,
attack.
Sarah, are we talking about Julian Assange? Well, Sarah, are you even a serious interviewer? I thought we're talking about Julian Assange here today.
We are.
That's what you were asking me to come on your Australian news show. I don't usually do interviews like this because people like you can't be taken seriously.
Let me just put this to you, because you use the term truth as the reason why you have been so supportive of Julian Assange. So I want to go to one of the most dominant issues of truth in the American landscape. So, as I just said, you've lionized...
I'm from an Australian here. This is the dominant issue of truth. Okay, let's hear it, Sarah.
So you've lionized people in prison for their role in attacking the Capitol on January the 6th, including visiting them in prison. This is my question. What will Donald Trump's MAGA supporters do if he loses the election?
So what does this have to do with Julian Assange again, Sarah? I think that was the purpose of our interview. Let me tell you something that you don't quite understand. In 2020, America watched riot day in and day out with BLM riots that caused over $2 billion in our communities and cities across the country. Sarah, what the Australian people know that probably don't like your show very much, but they do understand the truth, is that in America today, we have a two-tier justice system. And the Justice Department, the DOJ, targets their political enemies. And President Trump is the very top of that. And people that protested the election on January 6th are also the target of it. And what you probably don't tell your viewers is that many of these people that are being arrested and put in jail simply walked into the Capitol building through open doors and videoed and took pictures of the inside of the Capitol, and then they walked out through doors. And that's, I'm sure, not the images that you show on your network in Australia, but it's a shame because that's what the media has done and twisted and lied. That's why we applaud Julian Assange, because he didn't twist and lie and tried to pervert the truth. He told the truth, and we appreciate him for that.
And if it doesn't go your way, if Biden wins, will you accept the result?
Again, what does this have to do with Julian Assange?
It's the natural extension of the question about truth. And why would I?
What network is this? What is this, ABC in Australia? Is she getting any marching orders from the Democrat Party? I mean, is this what you decided to come up with today?
You're a prominent figure in U.S. politics. The first debate is tomorrow. The result of the election is on the minds not just of Americans but of the whole world. So it's a natural point of curiosity. But I understand that we've reached the end of the questions that you want to answer. Thank you for talking to us about Julian Assange and for joining the program.
Thank you. Good night.
Reach the end of the questions that you want to answer. No, that's not what happened there. You clearly, according from what I can see, MTG showed that she was invited to talk about Julian Assange because she's actually been very supportive of his release. And the ABC have obviously invited her there to talk about that and use the opportunity to, again, invert the conversation, invert the truth, bring Jan 6 into it, because why? Do they want to show that a Republican that is actually supportive of Assange, which we want in Australia, by the way, we actually want American politicians to be supportive of him, considering it was the US seeking to extradite him and potentially lock him up for life when he was already at risk of dying in prison. We want that. But what are you trying to do? Trap her to make her seem not credible because of her stance on January 6th, which we all know was a bogus story. So she aptly says, is she receiving her marching orders from the Democratic Party? Because that's how it seems. She should be offended by this person from another country spewing lies about her country or trying to entrap her about her country. And she did a great you know, bringing BLM into it. I wonder what ABC's coverage about BLM was at the time. Were they just victims when they were destroying billions of dollars of damage in the country? But people who, in a democratic society, wanted to question the election were let in by Capitol Police, freely let in. Feds, Ray Epps, still no questions about Ray Epps. He was touted as a hero on CNN when he was saying, we need to go into the Capitol. Why didn't Sarah ask MTG about Ray Epps? No. She wanted to pin her stance on January 6th because she disagrees with the official narrative on her. Unbelievable. And she said, she's so good when she said, the Australian people that don't like your show very much. And that is the case. I mean, just go and look at the ABC's views on YouTube and you really do ask yourself, why on earth do our taxpayer dollars continue to fund this useless outlet when really all that they do is side with the government of the day? That's what they do. So, someone's saying it's great, no freezing where I am. I am glad to hear that. Now, I want to talk to you guys about what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has said about the release of Julian Assange. And I have to say, I am in agreement. So obviously, my thoughts on this, and I will go to the comments, but I want to give my thoughts on this. It is very alarming in terms of the precedent that has been set. But from what we've heard from Julian's family, you know, it is, and I watched excessive coverage of it yesterday. He really was left with no choice. It was either that or basically rot in prison forever. Based on what the US wanted to do, as you know, they wanted to extradite him. The powers that this precedent sets, is something that should alarm every single journalist in the world. And every single person, really, if you say something or do something that a government doesn't like, particularly publish something that a government doesn't want revealed, which is, by the way, the property of the people. No people were harmed by Julian's publishing of the war crimes committed by the US. And yet, the people that committed those war crimes have not been held to account. So Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said, Julian Assange struck a plea deal and will go free. I am overjoyed. He's a generational hero. Yes, I agree with that. The bad news is that he had to plead guilty to conspiracy to obtain and disclose national defense info, which means the US security state succeeded in criminalizing journalism and extending their jurisdiction globally to non-citizens. Julian had to take this. He has heart problems and would have died in prison, but the security state has imposed a horrifying precedent and dealt a big blow to freedom of the press. And that's absolutely the case. We are talking about the US government or any government having the power to impose criminal penalties on non-citizens. No government in the world should have that power. And we saw a similar incidence, or perhaps even worse in some cases, where there is no extradition treaty between Germany and Mexico, and yet Rainer Fulmich was kidnapped and taken to Germany and put on trial for crimes he did not commit. And that's all coming out in the case, and that's wonderful. But that happened without an extradition treaty. And so we are now at the point, and Rainer is, of course, not only a lawyer, but also a journalist who publishes the findings of various experts around the world through initially the Corona Investigative Committee, and then further on he went to establish the name of the second organization he established has slipped me. The ICIC, that's right. The ICIC. And so he is a publisher and he has experienced extradition without an extradition treaty. Very, very alarming escalations in the world. So basically now any government can just go, we don't like you. We don't like what you've been saying. We're going to kidnap you. And of course, yes, he's a German citizen, but there's no extradition treaty with Mexico. And so any government can just say, we don't like what you've been saying, rip you from your location and put you on trial. It is very, very concerning. And that is certainly the case in the precedent that's been set here. the Julian, his comments inside the courtroom were something to the tune of, and I don't want to misquote him, but yes, I plead guilty to this law, but essentially it's a bad law, and it violates the Constitution. And so he was, even in his guilty plea, he did it in defiance. And so that was a very, very powerful moment, in my opinion. Some people, I've heard some people on social media saying, well, why does he look okay when they said he was in such frail health? For goodness sake, people, number one, of course, the family would be concerned and raising alarm bells about his health often, because this was essential for his freedom. I mean, think, people. This was a number one, highlighting the human rights abuse that Julian Assange endured while he was holed up in one of the harshest prisons in the UK, like some sort of mass murderer, for publishing government war crimes, for goodness sake. And apart from that, he'd had a heart attack, and there were very serious concerns from his health from multiple doctors that came in. And if you've watched The Trust Fall, you would have seen how all of that unfolded. But secondly, I can't even imagine judging someone just based on one viewing of them. You know, I saw at a couple of moments he was quite overwhelmed with the amount of press around him, and Stella did ask in a press release last night that the family be given some space while he recovers and spend some time with his children. I find media and sometimes the public to be very selfish in their approach to all of this. You know, demanding they hear from Julian immediately and everything. I mean, you try spending years on end in prison and being in poor health and then, you know, having all these demands on you. I, for one, am grateful that Julian Assange is out. I am literally completely overjoyed. I called Kim Staton yesterday, the director of the Trust Fall, congratulated him, spoke with Australians for Assange as well, who sent me a congratulation message as well, because this, the efforts of every single person around the world have led to his freedom. This was a campaign unlike no other, and it's a campaign that hasn't lost traction. And yes, it took years to achieve, but we really, really have to see the power of every single person not giving up on this. And so thank you to everyone who's raised awareness about Assange, everyone who has campaigned for Assange, everyone who's even had conversations with others about the case of Julian Assange. You have set an innocent man free, regardless of what the Department of Justice is saying. In my opinion, he is innocent. This should have never happened. And that's what his lawyers said. And so I'm very, very grateful for the impact that that movie made as well. I want to mention to everyone, there is four more US states that have decided to sue Pfizer, and five US states actually in total now are suing Pfizer over false claims of vaccine safety and efficacy. This has just come out, but I want to show you what happens when you Google it. Okay, this is back to Tucker's point about the media. Look at this. There is one article here. These five US states are suing Pfizer over COVID-19 from the Hindustan Times. And the rest is old news that Kansas is suing Pfizer. There is not one mainstream media outlet here that I can find that is reporting on this historic news that four other states are suing Pfizer. You would think that every single media outlet who pretends that they're there to report the news, like the ones who attended in Canberra, you would think that they'd be straight on this story. I mean, this is hot. This is breaking news. This is hot off the press that the biggest criminal pharmaceutical company, Pfizer, who currently hold the record for the largest criminal lawsuit in history, are being sued by five American states. You would think that the media would be interested in that hot off the press, probably the biggest story in the world. But no, they'll tell you about how mushrooms are gay or something. And that's a real article that just came out recently, by the way. Mushrooms are gay. It was from a doctor, mushrooms are gay. All right, five US states. Thank you to at least the Hindustan Times reporting on this. Five US states suing Pfizer. I'll go to this article here. Actually, no, I will go to the Hindustan Times article because kudos to them. They have actually cited the states. So earlier this month, Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach sued pharma giant Pfizer, alleging Pfizer misled the public that it had a safe and effective COVID-19 injection. Another four U.S. states are joining the alliance to rub the lawsuit on Pfizer's face. RFK Jr. wrote in his post, five states, Texas, Utah, Kansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana, suing Pfizer for knowing and concealing the vaccine causing myocarditis, pericarditis, failed pregnancies, and deaths. That's 10% of U.S. states. The tide is turning. It's fantastic news. Absolutely fantastic news. The tide is turning in one way or another, and I want to show you guys a post, and I hope that this person didn't think I was coming at them, because I really wasn't. I was trying to encourage people, because they said to me, well, let me bring it up so that I can show you guys. Oh, I don't know if they blocked me. Maybe they got offended. Maybe they got offended and they blocked me. Sometimes people mistake my response for something that it really isn't. You know, I'm not, just because I respond to you in a certain way doesn't mean I'm against you. It just means I'm challenging or encouraging. And a lot of times people misunderstand my intent because I'm very direct. Basically, this person said, I feel we're a lost cause. You know, there's no coming back from this. And if that person's watching now, please know that my intent was not to shame you or anything like that. I was actually trying to encourage people, because my response to that was, I understand why people feel this way. They would love for us to believe we've been defeated. I don't believe that. They cannot defeat me because I will never bow. Every single day, I beat them with my defiance. We all do. Never give up. And so my point there was to really encourage, and I've said this from the start, you would all know if you've been watching me for a while, don't let the tyrants rule your mind. This is literally one of my favorite lines, because there will be days where I am downtrodden like everyone else. And you know, it is a tough battle. It is a tough battle, especially when you know the end goal, which we will talk about in a moment. X's changed their decision to give ID to Israeli intelligence. But it is a very, very tough battle, and I know that. But at the end of the day, I do not ever want to give these satanic freaks the satisfaction of ruling my mind. I won't allow them to. And I think we all need to have that spirit of defiance and be encouraged. They want us to believe that we are defeated, that there's no hope. But just look at, you know, and the... Again, the response in the room, what the videos I've played you tonight of that conference in Canberra, that lunch or whatever you want to call it, you can't understand unless you were there to experience the absolute strength of the people inside that room. They are not having it. They don't feel helpless and hopeless. We're not helpless and hopeless. We just have to understand that we share a common enemy and a common ideology and come against it and continue to do so. And we will win in the realm of ideas. You now have five states suing Pfizer. You have Francis Boyle, Professor Boyle, with his affidavit in Florida that these are biological weapons and weapons of mass destruction. There is definitely movement. Some will say it's too slow. Okay, maybe it is too slow, but there's more evidence that comes out all the time. And there are people that are still working on this. Rather than saying it's too slow, I would rather think, thank God for all of the people around the world that are working to expose this and haven't stopped working and are working tirelessly. And what can I do to help them? I would rather adopt that mindset than allow myself to be defeated. And I'm not saying that you won't go through days where you feel like it's lost, because everyone has those days. But we have to remind ourselves that there is more to do and there is more happening. There's a lot happening. Every day there's a lot happening, be it good or bad, but there are good things that happen. And so Senator Babbitt as well just announced that they are challenging the digital ID. I don't have the entire video, I apologize. I don't think you'll hear it, so I've tried this before. You know what, guys? Let me know if you hear this. if I play it. Let me know in the
All right, we're here this morning to sign the Digital ID Repeal Bill, which I'm going to introduce into the Senate this afternoon. And thanks have to go to Senators Matt Canavan and Ralph Babbitt, as well as Senators Hanson, Rennick and Roberts as well, who have all co-sponsored this bill. So thanks, gentlemen. This is really important because we all know that Digital ID, the laws that were jammed through the Senate and then ultimately the House, are really bad laws for Australia. So thanks for being involved, Matt.
Yeah, mate, this is very important. Well done for you to bringing it up. We've already seen, just in the weeks since the Digital ID Bill passed, moves in Queensland for them to mandate Digital ID for some services. We promised that wouldn't happen. It is happening. In the original bill, they actually carved out state governments. That's how they can do this. So we can just get rid of this completely, and no one should be forced to have a Digital ID in this country.
That's right. Yeah, Ralph. Look, thank you so much, Senator Antic, for introducing this bill. We're glad to support it, and I think it's a righteous bill, and the Digital ID bill, as it stands at the moment, is poorly fought out, and we've just got to get rid of it.
Great stuff. All right, let's get to it. Let's sign the bill. That's for me.
That's right. Thank you.
Good stuff. Good stuff. We'll get the other senators to sign as well later on. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
all the best.
Well done.
Good stuff.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
So I don't know how much of a delay there is on that, me playing the clip versus it coming through to Rumble. I was watching the comments. I didn't see anyone saying that they couldn't hear it. So I hope I didn't just make you all sit through a minute and a half of silence. Let me know in the comments if you heard that, because I've had issues in the past playing videos and people being able to see them. And if you have heard it, then I can do more of that playing off screens rather than putting it into my recording software. I will wait to hear your feedback on that in the comments. The other really, really interesting thing that's just happened, and then we'll go to the comments, is that X, you may all remember that I've spoken about this before, how I was being impersonated. I have a number of impersonators, and this is just another reminder, guys, please do not respond to DMs or PMs on Telegram or any other platform, even in comments, nowhere, asking you to donate or buy crypto or anything like that. I will never message people to ask for donations or engage them in any type of financial schemes. We have one gold partner, that's Gold Bullion Australia Group, linked in the description below. I encourage everyone to visit them. It was really, really amazing to be in Buterim and meet some of the people that are customers and fans of Z Media and talk to people about why gold is so important. And if you spend time around gold bugs, you'll understand why this is so vital for our future. It really is. And so I encourage everyone to go to Gold Bullion Australia Group. They're a wonderful bunch. They also do some amazing work. The owner's very passionate about saving wildlife, and he supports a wildlife park up in his area up there, well, somewhere in the north in Byron. And so they're just a great bunch of people, and everyone that we know that's been there says that they get great, great service. So visit them. They're in the description below. But please don't ever respond. Even if I say, email me so we can talk about something, unless I've told you in the comments, I'm going to email you so that I'm going to message you to share my email. That's the only way I'll ever do it in Telegram. And then I'll actually message you after I've told you in the chat. So yes, please, please be mindful of that. People are saying it's starting to freeze again. I'm sorry. On my end, the internet connection's good. I really hope that, gosh, it seems like it's really delayed. Someone's saying I can hear it frozen. So that means you're only hearing the audio now. Oh, gosh. It was like 3 minutes ago. Anyway, I'll keep going as much as I can, and we'll wrap up soon. I'll have a look at the comments and we'll wrap up soon. But many of you would remember that I've been talking about how, I had a scammer on X, multiple scammers. X told me that in order for them to remove the scammer, you know, logging a request through X wasn't sufficient. I had to email them from my official business domain, which I did. And then they said, actually, that's not enough. We want your government ID. And I said, shove it where the sun don't shine. And so the reason that I'm so passionate about this is because I understand the AI world society. I know that the government wants to enroll us as digital citizens. They consider us objects inside the AI world society that don't have human rights. And as soon as you do an act that willingly hands over your ID to that system, you are participating in it. And so as an act of non-compliance, I will not give my ID to X. I never monetized my account. I'm not there for money. I'm just trying to get truth out. And so I don't care so much about monetization. I understand that there are people who make a living on there, but at what cost? At what cost? You know, if you are taking steps towards a social credit system, you're not doing yourself any favors, even if it is for, you know, a quick win now. And so let me just go to what's just happened. X is now no longer going to be using Authentix, which is owned by former Israeli intelligence operatives, and they've switched to Stripe instead. Authentix was also just involved in a massive data breach that has compromised many people. That could be another motivation for switching. Your ID, a selfie, and biometric data is still required to put through Stripe's system in order to be eligible for payments on X. I do see this as being a potentially much better alternative. However, Stripe has woke tendencies and has been known to cancel people using the service if they don't agree with your views. It's worth pointing out that X is currently using Stripe Express to process payments to creators. The company is owned by two Irish guys that are based in Palo Alto, California, instead of Israel, so there's no foreign entity involved that we know of. This is obviously coming from an American. What do you think about this change? Do you see it as positive, and has it swayed you to get ID verified to get payment now that this alternative is in place? Of course, for me, the answer is a big fat no. I will not be giving my ID to any social media company for any form of internet use, or be giving them selfies or my biometric data. I have no interest in that. You know, I wrote this in Telegram and I stand by it. Although I've been using Stripe personally for some time after PayPal banned me twice, I've found no issues with them as far as my personal experience thus far goes. I will maintain my decision not to monetize my account as long as they're asking for my ID. There is absolutely zero need to obtain my ID in order to use any social media app. My face is out there, my reporting and opinions bared for all the world to see. I have nothing to hide, and they have absolutely no reason to obtain my ID. They know who I am. Said, I know the goal of the globalists is to create digital citizens, and handing over your ID for social media or internet use in general is part of that. In my view, this is still a trap and shadow of a social credit system. And then someone asked me what if X handled all of the verification processes, would I still have a problem? And I said, yes, there's no need for these people to require my ID. They all know who we are. The government knows who we are. If we do or say anything they don't like online, they turn up at our doorstep within 5 minutes. So it is not about minimizing crime or protecting children or whatever excuse they use, or making sure no one's committing fraud. What sort of fraud would they be committing? It is about establishing a social credit system, and I will have no part in it. I do not require a single cent from X. I'm not here to earn money. I'm here to tell the truth. And so that is my stance. It's not changing. It's been the same since day one. And that's it. That's it. Why, you know, they can't catch pedophiles, but if you say something negative on social media about gay people or whatever it is that is the sensitive topic of the day, the cops are at your door, for goodness sake. Like that gentleman in England who spoke to his priest in confidence about the fact that he was concerned about Christian persecution worldwide and wanted to know what we should, as Christians, should be doing about it. And then the police turned up at his house with a mental health nurse to make sure he was okay. What the heck? So you don't need my ID to know what I'm up to. You know what conversations I'm having in private. Heck, our phones are recording them 24/7. God forbid you guys have smart applications in your house because they're recording your conversations, your thoughts. And on that topic, I've recently had more people reporting that their phones are giving them ads based on their thoughts. I've told you guys about this before. You know, someone that I know that went into a store, saw a product, their phone was not with them. They got home and the product was on their Instagram, a product they have not seen in 20 years, be it on ads or in person. And all of a sudden, after they've looked at it with their eyes, without their phone on them, the ad was on their Instagram account. And I'm hearing more of this occurring. I'd be interested to see your comments on that and whether you guys are experiencing that as well. Someone else is saying Maria, video is cutting up bad. I'm so sorry, guys. I've just got, you know, my internet connection is showing up as strong on this end. I've got a real-time sort of counter on my streaming software. Well, now it's actually dropping, so it looks like it's intermittent. What I might do is go to the comments and then we'll wrap up this live stream and hopefully, you know, this is resolved soon. Where I am isn't the best internet. seems like nothing's off the table. They covered it all as long as there is consent to do whatever you want. Well, that's the thing. And giving them your ID is consenting. And I don't want to do that. Someone said, bullets and food, that's my hedge against inflation. Well, if you're a hunter. Someone said, when has a woman ever taken responsibility for anything? I do regularly, okay? Not all women are liberal, you know, mentally infected morons. There are reasonable women out there. I'm one of them, in my opinion. But even a liberal woman would say that. Someone said, those eight principles. Oh, I was reading them and it says that women shouldn't be held responsible for using drugs or alcohol during their pregnancy and they can do what they want with it. Oh, okay. Except when it comes to vaccine mandates. Then it's not your body, your choice. These people are insane. These people are insane. Someone's saying here, Killer Carl's saying, can I ask everybody a quick favor? Please follow me on Rumble. Check out my content. I'm using my channel to donate ad revenue to January 6th political prisoner families. Just click on me in the chat too. I can't, Killer Carl, I can't endorse that because I haven't checked out your channel. But if that is really what you're doing, guys, I encourage, you know, people to help Carl out getting that ad revenue up to donate to January 6 families. If that is what he's doing, I support that. Someone's saying, I'm better off watching it on Twitter. Unwatchable keeps freezing. I'm not streaming on Twitter at the moment.